There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal. My guest is Jim Rothstein. And Jim, you were talking about some things we can do to correct these problems. And talk about these laws that you've put together that need to be passed in order to begin to correct this problem in our country. Go ahead.
Well, first, it's a two-part system here. Back in the 90s, I was asked by Congress, a member of Congress, to prepare a report that they could use to do what I am suggesting should happen now. It never happened. It got stopped. The first thing would be a bipartisan congressional investigation with public hearings. And these hearings would have to be aired publicly so nothing could be covered up. And then you would have to have a special prosecutor and grand jury sitting there available in case anybody brought in front of the this hearing wasn't going to cooperate. And you could throw them in front of the grand jury. And that special prosecutor would not come out of your regular muckety-mucks in Washington, which are all part of the problem. I have a guy in mind, Mike Johnson, out of Oklahoma City, who could handle this very well. But then the next thing is the laws to be passed was that if any law enforcement agency or any prosecutor or any authority who failed to act on any pedophile or criminal use of children complaint by doing a complete investigation would be guilty of a crime. That's any cop, prosecutor, anybody. That would be a crime, a felony. The second part would be that any person or agency or anybody who interferes, threatens, harasses, impedes, or in any way tries to compromise an investigation, a prosecution, or a witness in one of these cases would be guilty of a felony with 5-year mandatory prison sentence. Now, the third part is that anybody who uses children for child porn, pedophilia, or to compromise, extort, or cause anybody to do an unwilling act would be guilty of a felony punishable by death, or in a state that doesn't have the death penalty, life without parole. Now, the final one is the one that really would cut this organized stuff out. Anybody who buys, sells, trades, or in any way promotes, enables, or profits from pedophilia or human compromise. Now, human compromise is when they use kids to compromise somebody, or to use the children in a criminal matter, is a guilty of a felony punishable by death. And again, in a state where they don't have the death penalty, life without parole. You pass these four laws, and you watch and see how quick. Because the biggest problem you have is the honest cop that wants to go after this, or the honest prosecutor, and I know a bunch of them, that tried to do something, always gets stopped. Does this make sense to you, Greg?
Yeah, it does, and I'd like to see something done. I mean, it's hard enough to get the story out, but then when you have all these blocks, I mean, in our government, prosecutors and other people that are working with them, and not counting what the ones you're talking about, the good ones that are out there, and there are some. But in the meantime, the problem continues, and there is no justice. I mean, we can parallel this story to so many others in our country. Look at the same thing happening in 9/11. It's been going on for 5 years. We've got hard evidence showing that the government story is a bunch of bull, and nothing gets done. I mean, that's a major story in our country, a major tragedy that needs to be. Go ahead.
Look at the latest information coming out on the Oklahoma City bombing in the last 2 days, where Nichols has finally started talking. And what's amazing is this is the information I had within 48 hours of being in Oklahoma City is exactly what Nichols is talking about now. So,
all right, listen. Let's take a break here, come back. We'll finish up that thought, and we'll get into Frank Farini and the Kennedy assassination.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274. 497-0274.
Okay, we're back with Jim Rothstein, and let's just finish that thought, Jim. You know, the cover-ups that are going on besides the pedophile cover-up, 9/11, Oklahoma City, Waco, Ruby Ridge, and the list goes on. In fact, I had an FBI investigator on that actually worked with Timothy McVeigh, working together, and he pinpoints McVeigh being on the payroll and knows all about what happened and how he was set up. In fact, said McVeigh wasn't the first one they wanted to use as a patsy, but the first guy didn't work out, so they used McVeigh. So, I mean, Americans know that their government is involved in some evil things, and we, I guess it must tear your heart out, working as a police officer for all those years, to see this going on. And then to see us with our hands tied behind our backs, not being able to do anything. What's your thoughts?
Well, I agree with that. And the thing to remember, there are a lot of good FBI, there's good police officers who would do their job, but when they take on these power brokers, nobody backs them. And the list goes on and on. I call it the graveyard of the dead cops who end up in a graveyard because of the job they did. I don't mean that they're dead, but their careers are over with. And they're relegated to obscurity because they did their job. And that goes across the board with all of these things. When I was working on the Oklahoma City bombing thing, there were a lot of good police officers down there. But what could they do? Their legs were cut out. And what are they going to do? Commit suicide by ruining their careers and they won't be able to take care of their families and stuff? You know, they're not all crazy like I am.
Now, tell us a little. I didn't know anything about you working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Tell us about what you learned.
Well, the thing is, I was sent down there by a man from Chicago, a really great guy by the name of Alexander Magnus. He's dead now. But when I got down there the very first day, it showed a picture of Charles Key, who is probably one of the few politicians who didn't believe the story that was being fed to the public. And the day I got down there, went to Charles's office, it had a cartoon in the paper of him with elephant ears and a hula hoop, because Charles had gone public and stated that on the morning of the bombing at around 3:30, there were people in government black and all the high places around Oklahoma City, like by the fairgrounds and stuff, with these hoops. Well, as soon as I saw that and heard that, I knew that McVeigh had been under surveillance with a beeper, which is an electronic transmitter, and they were following with a loose tail. So we used to do those things, and if the guys we followed would take the beeper and put it on a bus or a garbage truck, and we'd follow the wrong thing. But when it went dead, like it did in McVeigh's case, that meant that at that point the operation was changed, because they couldn't follow him anymore. And later on with Glenn Wilburn, the grandfather of Edie Smith's two children, which were his grandsons, we actually reconstructed the entire route and justified the whole time that McVeigh was getting ready from that point to when the bomb went off at 9 o'clock. My belief is, and from the information I got, is that that bomb was supposed to go off at 6 o'clock in the morning. But once this truck was set loose, and as Nichols says in his report, it's not the same bomb that he put in, helped McVeigh put in the truck. It was bigger. And that's why the 3 hours come in, and you always hear about how the federal guys weren't in their offices. Well, if the bomb's supposed to go off at 6, and they were following it all night, and they knew this was going to happen, by 7 o'clock the truck don't show up. Well, something went wrong, and they all go home because they've been working all night. And mm-hmm. we were also able to, from witnesses, we know McVeigh parked in front, got out of the car, got into his Mercury, took off, and with John Doe number 2. And we know that John Doe number 2 was supposed to switch the license plates because they had stolen plates out of Fort Smith, Arkansas. Instead, what does John Doe number 2 do? He throws them away, and McVeigh takes off. And the only state trooper going away from Oklahoma City grabs him, and he calls in, "I have the bomber." Now, this is within minutes of, or an hour or so of the bombing. They already got the call. Well, Mike Johnston, the attorney down in Oklahoma City, went to court to sue under the Freedom of Information to get the video of McVeigh parking the truck and the state trooper's call. We fought it to the Supreme Court of the United States, and we can't get that information. So does that tells you right there, why can't we get that? What can right. be wrong that the public can't see those two transmissions? Because that would prove a lot of things. And there's a lot more that figures into this with Andreas Strassmeier. We actually went to Germany and interviewed Strassmeier. We know who he was and what happened. This is long before anybody ever heard about it. Now, there's one thing in the Oklahoma City bombing. You mention one name, and everybody runs for the hills, and that's a guy by the name of Barbudi, Esam Barbudi. Mike Johnston had sued him on behalf of a guy named Munden and Moshe Tal, because he is the guy that was involved with all kinds of things, like, you know, the Rapta chemical plant and all of that. And all these Iraqi soldiers and terrorists that were sent after the war were all located in the Oklahoma City area. And we know who the guy was. Jaina Davis, probably the great, you know, one of the great reporters, which shows what happened when you do your job. She got fired, but she had identified the Iraqi contacts and the element in the Oklahoma City bombing. So now Nichols is coming out with this, and it just verifies everything that we had come up with.
Right. And what about this guy in Germany? What did you learn from him? And his name again?
Andreas Strassmeier. Andreas Strassmeier was German intelligence. And what's interesting is the way he left the United States when he found out we were zeroing in on him. It wasn't long after the bombing. He left through Mexico City. This is the underground that they use when they move assets out of our country. It's been used to, when we get back to Frank Sturgis, you'll find out how that goes back with the Kennedy assassination and all that stuff. But they use the underground to get them out. And to me, that's sending up a red flag. Hey, look at this. And Strassmeyer, we know he was German intelligence, and we also know the Nazi, neo-Nazi connection through Elohim City and through Barbudi with the Rapta chemical plant. Simon Wiesenthal had done a big report on the Rapta chemical plant and all of that. So if anybody wants to look it up, it's all in there. And all of these things pointed out. Now Nichols comes in and verifies almost every bit of it.
Right. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the Kennedy assassination. Just another of their cover-ups. The evidence is just overwhelming that it wasn't a lone shooter, and they just basically keep everything from the American people, including Kennedy, and that's going back to the early 60s. Now, we got a few minutes here, and then we'll continue on with this story. So I want you to start it off. How did you tell us all about Frank Farini, who is Frank Sturgis, Marita, this whole web of people involved in what you learned to be the Kennedy assassination and how it came to be? I think it'd be really interesting, and then we'll get into that 22-page confession. Go ahead.
Yes, first I got to go back to the days when I was a young sailor aboard the USS Essex, and we actually were in the Bay of Pigs invasion, and there's a book written by Peter Wyden called The Bay of Pigs, The Untold Story, where the U.S. ships that were down there bombing and helping in the invasion till just as the landing started. And as you know, Frank Sturgis was leading the charge. And as they started the invasion, John F. Kennedy pulled off the aircraft support. And this is basically unbeknownst to me that years later when I ran into Frank Sturgis, when I arrested him, when he was sent to assassinate Marita, how all of this would figure into it. So in the next segment, I'll start off with that.
All right. And that's an interesting, we got a couple minutes here, so you can continue on. I miscalculated the time.
Well,
so go ahead.
What had happened is while I was doing this pedophile work, we, like I said, infiltrated a lot of things. And what happened was, is I received an anonymous phone call that Marita's daughter had been arrested because she was sitting in the bushes because word was that Marita was going to be assassinated by Frank Sturgis, and it was a sanctioned hit, so nobody was going to protect her mother. She was 13 at the time, and she had gone out that morning and bought a gun, and she was going to shoot Sturgis before he could get to her mother. So she was hiding in the bushes by the building. So now
tell us, tell our listeners who Marita is, for those who don't know.
Marita is a wonderful lady. Marita was the lover of Fidel Castro. She, in fact, had a son by Fidel. She is also the woman that was sent back in to poison Fidel Castro by the agency when she was with Op 40, working for Frank Sturgis. Marita is quite she had been the daughter of a German U-boat captain who later on was running a German ship into Havana. And that's how Marita got into all of this. Marita is a true Mata Hari. It's just amazing what this lady did. And when she was going to testify as to all the plans, she was there when the Kennedy assassination was planned in Miami Beach, Florida. And so she was going to testify at the House assassination hearings about what transpired, and that's when the order came out to assassinate her.
And that's when Frank Sturgis came into the picture in New York.
Yes.
When you started through the pedophile ring you were working on, you got a tip that Sturgis was coming to New York, correct? We'll get into that.
Yes.
We'll get into that, Jim, right after this short break on the Investigative Journal.
Thank you. got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat batch out laid off says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10.
Okay, we're back. Excuse me, back on the Investigative Journal. My guest is Jim Rothstein. And Jim, let's pick it up where you left off with this story on Sturgis.
Well, like I said, it was in the morning when I got the call that from this unidentified person that Marita was going to be assassinated. So what happened was we met with Marita, me and my partner, Maddie Rosenthal, met with Marita at a restaurant and listened to her story, and she told us what had happened with her daughter being arrested that morning. And we were able to determine that this looked like it was the real thing, that she was going to be killed. With that, we went up to her apartment, which was on the Upper East Side. And when we went into the apartment, we sat her down, and she had more evidence to show what she was going to testify to in the House assassination hearings. And one of the things that was amazing was that all these files were there, were 15, 20 boxes, legal boxes, piled up against the wall. And we went through many of the documents that showed what was being done when the thing was planned. And she told us a story about how She had been in Miami with Frank Sturgis and a number of other people, Bosch and Hunt and those guys in Miami, and planning the assassination. And how, when they were ready to leave, there was a shootout, and they left in two cars. There were five people in two cars, and they drove to Dallas, Texas. We were able to verify with the police officer that handled the responded to the shooting that this had actually happened. And Marita tells the story about how she then drove with these people to Dallas and how they got over for the assassination and how she left just before the assassination and was flying back to New York.
Did she give the names of the people that she was with?
Yes, she did. It was Sturgis, Hunt, Bosch. I don't remember all of them. I think Felix Rodriguez was with them, too. But she gave us the names. We had them all written down and all of that. I probably could find them if I went through my notes again.
Did she ever talk about George H. Bush's connection to this?
No, she did not. That comes in at a different angle.
But okay, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. But what she talks about, and the key thing here is I always look for something in a story that can't be planned or isn't part of it. And what she describes that as they crossed this bridge by Nogiachus or something like that, in Louisiana, just before they get to Texas, that they had car problems. And we were able, that they had car problems when they came over the bridge and all that. And at the time, it didn't really make too much sense. But later on, I'll get into it when Sturgis tells us the same thing, and that shows up in that report. So these were little things that we found to give her credibility. So we waited, me and my partner, and Sturgis shows up at the apartment, knocks on the door, and the door flies open, and we put a gun to his head and told him he was under arrest and all of that stuff. And but there was only one person. Nobody in the New York City Police Department knew what we were going to do, because we knew what would happen if the word got out that we were going to take down a CIA guy, because this was a sanctioned hit. He was sanctioned to come to kill Marita. And so the informant had told us, you know, make sure nobody knows about it. And we did, because that was at the time I had been assigned by the governor of the state of New York to the New York State Select Committee on Crime, and that was over the police commissioner and mayor's head, and that's where I was working so I could get away with this. But now we got Sturgis under arrest. We searched him and put him everything down, and we sat him down at a table for 2 hours before we took him to the precinct. And during those 2 hours, we talked to him at length. And, in fact, one of the first things I did, which we had planned on, was I congratulated him for assassinating Kennedy. And I told him because what happened in the Bay of Pigs, you know, where they let these guys start the attack, because I knew Sturgis had led the charge. And Sturgis turned to me and he says, you know, for you to know that, you had to be aboard the USS Essex. And I said, you're right. Well, with that, he starts telling us the whole story about.
Now, why do you think he would do that? Why do you think he would do that? I always wondered.
Because that was the first time as anybody ever told him, and that he knew was a lion. Because, again, like I said earlier, I was aboard that ship, and all the numbers were painted over. The planes were painted white. The destroyers, our escorts, were all painted over, and we flew no American flag. And we bombed them for 3 days and three nights. And that's why Sturgis, when he realized I had been in that, I was a comrade, you know? And,
right.
That's when he told me. And then we got into the Kennedy assassination and all that stuff. And he basically, he did tell me that he had been one of the assassins, and, you know, it didn't do any good because nobody's going to believe it anyhow. But with that, we finally took Sturgis to the precinct to book him. So when we walked in, and since we were from headquarters, nobody dared question what we were doing.
Jim, can you hold this up? We're going to take a break, come back, and then get into the story right where you left off. Back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Okay, we are back on the Investigative Journal, and I've got a number of callers, and we will get to you, but I want to finish this story about Frank Sturgis. We're now in the police station, and he's already admitted that he was one of the shooters in the Kennedy. Did he admit he was a shooter in the assassination?
Yes, he did. He said he was on the grassy knoll.
And did he say, was he aiming for Kennedy, or, did he hit Kennedy?
He didn't say that. He just said that he took care of it.
Okay, so tell us what's transpired then in that police room in the police
department. That's really quite amazing what happened, because we booked him under his real name, which is Frank Farini, which you stated, which is really most people don't know that. But again, because we were from headquarters, nobody asked us what we were doing, and we took Sturgis upstairs to book him, because we knew if they got wind of it, they would stop us from booking him. So we get him upstairs, and he's entitled to a phone call, and I made that phone call for him, and it was to a guy by the name of Gayton Fonzie, who wrote a book called The Last Investigation, and it has the story in there about him getting the call. But what amazed me was that Frank Sturgis, the phone call he was allowed to make, was made to the investigator in what was going to be the hearings on the Kennedy assassination. Now, why would one of the perpetrators call the investigator? It never made sense to me. But he calls them up, and years later, when I talked to Gayton Fonzie, Gayton had told me because as a result of this phone call or something else, a guy by the name of Frank Nelson showed up at the station house to inquire about Frank Sturgis, and the desk lieutenant told him, he says, listen, the only Frank we got here is Farini, and he says, well, that's the same guy, and then all hell broke loose, you know? But in the meantime,
so he calls the guy making the working on the investigation basically to cover it up.
Yeah, but and it was too late. By now we had him booked, so they couldn't do that. But
okay.
Frank Nelson was a real character. He had been a straight man for a guy with the mob and intelligence connections. And how did he find out? And I always assumed that Gayton Fonzie had called him and told him to go bail him out. Well, Fonzie told me, he says, no, I didn't call him. He said Marita called him. It couldn't have been Marita because we had her in protective custody, and she wasn't allowed to make any phone calls. So somebody knew what was going to happen, you know.
Right.
That's the point of the story, because all of these things are so well monitored. It's like the guy that called me. They knew what I was going to do. You know, it was that nothing was left to chance anymore when I got the phone call. But now we
right.
take Sturgis down to court. And it was really interesting. Once we put him in the cells on 100 Center Street, he was the king, and they arraigned him. And the most amazing thing happened. The case was thrown out. But in the meantime, what they didn't know was that we had gotten a tape where Sturgis had called Marita and told her and said, listen, you know what the rules are. If you're going to testify in the hearings about what happened, you know what's going to happen to you. And they determined that that wasn't a threat. Now, Frank Sturgis was probably one of the top assassins in our covert ops that ever existed. And they thought that wasn't a threat. Give me a break. I mean, but anyhow, then the case
And you
was
got that on
out.
Tape where he was actually saying, threatening her in a sense, and also showing that there was a conspiracy to kill Kennedy. Not only just one shooter, but all these people were involved.
Yes, and that verified it because Marita was going to testify. And the other thing they didn't know was that one of my old partners had actually brought the documents down to the House assassination hearings. And I knew about this because the minute he started moving, they moved in on him and wanted to know what the heck he was doing. Well, years later, just a couple years ago, Judge Thunheim, the judge that reviewed all the files on the Kennedy assassination, I ran into him and I asked him, I says, did you ever see Marita's files? Oh, he says, there were no files from Marita. He says, she was such a nice little grandmother. He says, that is the sweetest little lady. I says, she's a stone assassin, you know. But the files were never there. He said they were missing. Frank Sturgis's files were missing. None of that stuff was there. So,
yeah, and people say that, you know, there was a fair investigation. What a joke. I mean, this story shows it.
Well, and then they had Ioannidis on the staff of the hearings, and just a couple years ago, they finally figured out he was part of the operation. He was part of Op 40. Op 40 was the key people that operated that. For years, we always thought there were 40 people, but it turned out it came from room number 40 at Langley.
And what was that? Go ahead. Explain that again.
Op 40 was the where the people that worked the Castro stuff. That was that whole operation was called Op 40.
Okay.
And you can find references made, you know, years later. As all of this stuff, it's now starting to come out piece by piece. Like they just got another film showing the actual parade just before the shooting. And I would wish I could see that real close to find out if it has a picture of Lee Harvey Oswald looking out the window to shoot. I bet you won't.
Yeah, you spent 2 hours with Sturgis. And what else did he tell you? I know we got to get into this 22-page confession he made.
We went into the whole thing with the Bay of Pigs. That was a very big issue in this, which is I asked him why they had to kill Kennedy. And that was the biggest reason was because he had double-crossed them on the Bay of Pigs invasion and all these guys got killed. You do not double-cross the Op 40 people, as we well know. And Sturgis just died a couple of years ago from what we call the flu because he was going to go public with this. And that brings us up to the confession. A number of years ago, in the early 90s, I was contacted by a spook who I have received information from over the years. I got information from him on the Promise software stuff and many things, a couple other cases. But he had gotten possession of a confession that Frank Sturgis gave to Cardinal Cook. And how it started off is he had this thing, and it was Frank Sturgis' confession. And when he got it, he contacted me because he wanted to know what to do. And I says, well, let's first see what it says. And he describes how the envelope is sealed with the cardinal seal. You know that plastic or candle seal that they put on the, with
right.
his, you know, every cardinal has their own seal. And this was sealed, and he opened it up, and in it was 21 or 22 pages of Frank Sturgis basically confessing to everything he'd ever done wrong in his life. And in particular, he again stated a lot of the things that he had told me when we had him in custody, including the part that he had been at and been involved in the Kennedy assassination. Also, in this confession, it was funny, I forgot to mention this, when we were interviewing Sturgis, Sturgis also brought up the point about the car trip where they stopped to get their vehicle fixed. And people might think, what does that mean to anything? But that lets you know that there was something that couldn't have been planned. You know, that gives you an independent verification of what he's saying. In his confession, he mentions that, them having car trouble and how it happened going over the bridge and that. It was a tire repair shop is where they got their car fixed. So he left that in there. So if somebody found out what it was, I to this day do not know why this guy called me to give me that information, other than the fact that he probably had been told if anything happens to me, this is where you're going to find it, and call Jimmy Rothstein. I don't know.
Now, so there's 22 pages of his confession, including
yes.
The Kennedy assassination. Whatever
yeah.
happened to this document?
Okay, here's what happened. After this happened, I was asked to come to New York and pick this confession up. And it was really out of a Clancy book what happened. I'm in the middle of this huge lumber yard out on Long Island, and he's going to come to meet me to drop this off. So I'm at a point where I can watch the streets around and see what's going on, and I know where he's coming from, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, police cars, everything you can imagine, stop him, and they grab him, and they go over him. Naturally, he didn't have the confession with him, but we had expected that, you know, somebody was monitoring this. Well, long story short, they let him go, and a couple of days later, we tried another pass, and we got intercepted again. And on the third try, we didn't even make an attempt. But about 2 years ago, I received a phone call stating that that is still available, and that sometime in the future, we will probably try it, or it'll be made public. So I don't know where it physically is right now.
So there's been attempts to get it to you, and it's always foiled somehow, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And I
it's
hope
also interesting, he confessed to Cardinal Cook, and shows you again the connections to the Vatican, again, rear their ugly head.
Yes.
You would think Cook would want to help the American people and solve the Kennedy assassination, but we all know.
I believe it was under the guise of the confessional, that the confession was made.
Right.
And,
which, again, is another way they can just ridiculous to me. This, you know, we know this is such great information. How do you think we could ever get hold of that confession?
Well, he'll call me when the time is right. I never know when this guy called. And it's been going on for 20-some years. Probably at the right time, he'll call me. I have no way to contact him, and I don't know who he is.
Wow, that's interesting.
But yeah. I know he's reliable because he gave information with the Promise software. You probably remember that investigation with Bill and Nancy Hamilton.
Right, right. Say,
so
one, how does the how? Yeah, but how does Bush get involved in this? You mentioned
George
H. Bush.
If you remember, the thing with Bush is the that he had been in Mexico City as part of the CIA at the time, and he has denied it. But if you've been lately, there has been new information coming out to verify that it was, in fact, George Bush Sr.
So, yeah, and he, you think he, when he was planning this in Mexico, right?
Well, I don't know if he was planning. I think he was, you know, I don't know what his actual involvement was, but I'm sure because of the Mexico City connection that he was either, I don't know what he was doing, but there has been reports of it. But Sturgis never mentioned his name.
Okay. And did he mention any other names outside of the ones in the car?
No, basically, no, not about the assassination team. It was mostly he talked about the Bay of Pigs invasion because that was the thing that really made this happen. And the other thing he had mentioned about the reasons for the assassination was that Havana wasn't delivered to who it had been promised to once the Kennedys got into office.
Right.
Those were the reasons he said for the assassination. But the biggest thing was a double cross on the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Right. Let's get to a caller here. Ari in Utah, you're on the Investigative Journal.
Yes. excuse me, your guest, is this the guest that you had the hour before?
What's that? Yes.
Okay. I caught most of that hour, and I found it I about wanted to throw up. But anyways,
yeah, you can ask him questions about that hour, too. We just got into the Bay of Pigs and also Kennedy assassination. Go ahead.
I heard about you talking about the Vatican, and you've been doing a lot of investigative journalism on the Vatican of late when I've been listening to you on the shortwave.
Right.
You were talking about pedophilia rings, and here in Salt Lake City, this is basically a Freemason city here.
Right.
They pioneered this city along with the LDS Church, and most of the LDS Church leadership were Freemasons, as most people
right.
know. Now, in my research into the occult, which is fairly extensive, I found some information on some fairly credible websites that seem to indicate that the infiltration by the Freemasons into the Vatican was at least upwards of 50% of the cardinals were Freemasons. Does that sound accurate to you?
Well, there are a lot. Yeah, I mean, you look back to you look back to Pope John Paul I's investigation. I was in Italy when a document came out in the Italian press pinning almost 250 high-level bishops and priests, bishops and cardinals, to Freemasonry being involved. And we've also had information Cardinal Marcinkus was a member of the Monte Carlo P2 Lodge. Yes, that was one. Yeah, I don't know if that number is accurate, but many, many names came forward, and to this day, I had on a archbishop from Guatemala named Gerard Buffard, who has now come forward with information. He was also a 33-degree Freemason member, and he said many, many priests, high-level priests are. So, yeah, your information's pretty accurate. Do you have a question for my guest? Go ahead.
Well, here in Salt Lake City, the corruption is just, it's unbelievable. We have a huge mafia problem here between the Japanese and Chinese syndicates. We got a domestic terrorist group, the Aryan Nations, that are just totally grotesque in their arrogance. And I can completely understand what he's saying about the CIA, because I knew somebody personally in the CIA that was an analyst, and I divulged a lot of information to this man and stuff that should have put people in prison, and he just basically thumbed his, he didn't care. And I've been watching the FBI for years, you know, watching the mafia battle each other, killing these people. And it's just, it seems like the corruption has gotten so severe in this country. I just don't see any hope for this country at all. It looks like it's just so morally decayed and rotten. It's just completely imploding from inside. Listening to what's on in Florida, one of your in the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
let me.
Man, this is just unbelievable what's happening.
Right, Jim, do you have a comment, Jim?
Well, certainly. I know what he's talking about. I know exactly what he's talking about. And he hit the nail on the head, and I mentioned it earlier. It shows like yours that we have to get the people to start demanding that something be done, and it can't be done by ourselves. We need hundreds of people backing this and demanding that something be done, and that's how we can stop it. It's our own fault that we haven't got enough people to take this on.
Well, I want to ask you a question, Mr. Szymanski. What the threat? Now, I'm very well of the Illuminati and what they're all about. But the Freemasons, I know about the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite, their motto, ab ordo K-O, chaos out of order. Yeah. And I know all about that. But what is the threat, according to what you know, as far as the Freemasons go?
Let me tell you what I know from just, and I've researched this for a long time.
As far as the Cardinals, what's going on at the Vatican, is that because of the Freemasons?
Yeah, let me stay on the line there. We'll finish it up. We got another segment. We'll finish up with Jim Rothstein, and I'll try to answer your question as succinctly as I can. We've got to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true.
Okay, we're going to get back to our final segment. And to answer Ari's question briefly, because I want to finish up with Jim Rothstein, we only have about 5 minutes. Freemasonry is just another organization, another way to further the New World Order agenda. And this is at the higher levels. And it includes members of politicians. It includes members of the clergy. It includes members of other religious organizations. It includes businessmen, all different types of things. And at the high levels, I've learned this through many, many interviews I've done with people involved with them, simply to further this New World Order agenda. How they did it is a long discussion that I'll leave for another time. But it's another method similar to the Knights of Malta and other groups that have been formed, the OTO, we can go Opus Dei, other groups that have been formed to further this agenda. Now, how it was co-opted is a long story. I'll leave that for another time. But thanks, Ari. I just want to finish with Jim Rothstein. Jim, incredible stuff. If we can't get to Kennedy's the truth of Kennedy, how are we ever going to get to the truth of 9/11?
Well, that's true, but there's one other connection here since we brought up the Masons and the Knights of Malta. If you look at the Marcinkus, Big Al Caron, Bill Casey connection, which goes all around, ties in Spellman and everybody else, then you get a very good idea of how powerful this really is. And it goes far above the Kennedys and all of that. But if you look at it, it's all the same 40, 50 people.
Right, and that's the interesting thing. And we bring up the connection between the Knights of Malta, the Vatican, Freemasonry, how it interacts, and all the people that you name. This is the structure. These are the puppet masters pulling Bush's puppets. You know, the strings of Bush and Cheney and the rest of them, and they're just working for them. They control a lot of people under them, but we have to get to the real top, don't you think?
That's right, and. Right now, the weakest link they have, which they fear the most, is that this pedophile stuff will blow wide open. I was told by, again, going back to what Laswell told me, he said that there's the one thing they cannot stand and the public will never allow is if we can push and expose this pedophile stuff, it will bring all the rest of it down. And that's why they're so scared of this being exposed.
In the last minute here, anything new on the front of what you're trying to investigate just recently? Just update us how that the cases you're working on are going now. Go ahead.
Right now, the biggest movement and the one case that can expose all of this because of the cover-up is the Johnny Gosch case, the Franklin cover-up, that whole scenario. That right now is the weakest link that they have. If we can push this and get people to come forward, we do have people in place right now to make the documentation. That is the weakest link right now, and that's what we have to follow up on.
Yeah, interesting, and I hope we can get some justice there. Jim, you know, it's always interesting. I got one caller here. I've got many callers, but I let me see if I can squeeze one in. Walt in Michigan. Walt, I'm sorry we just get carried away, but I got many callers behind you. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Rothstein.
Yes.
Yes. Are you aware that Barbuti was involved in the chemical and biological manufacturing in Boca Raton, Florida, for PIT, a CIA front company?
I know it very, very well.
Are you aware of Peter Khawaja?
I know Peter Khawaja. Yes, I do. I know Louis Champagne. I know the whole scenario.
See, listen,
CIA.
Guys. Yeah.
Yes.
Listen, guys, we're going to get to you again. Jim and Walt, we'll get you back on again. Don't worry about it. We're all out of time. It was a great show. We had a lot to cover. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Walt, for calling. Call anytime. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place on the Investigative Journal. Until then, good afternoon.
You got hit.